still would be a buffer.
Why wouldn't a get work?
Because
you don't need a get.
Even a get, you can't marry your sister. You can't be married to even. You can't be married to the sister, even if you're divorced from one of the sisters.
But if the way that you described it is that the Zika is what's preventing him from being married to the first one, it's not that he can't do chalitza or even with the second one, with the gedola, because of the first marriage. It's that he can't be married to the first one because of the second marriage.
Because of the Zika.
So then if he got had a get, which basically just takes care of the Durabana thing, he should be able to marry.
But it's still your sister in law that you can't marry.
So the issue is that he can't be married to either of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So after this, even after the only with the retroactive annulment can he do chalitza and or yibum.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if, let's say the sister who was originally a katana, though, if she were to get a get, then she would have some money, and here now she's considered like she's an orphan, and she's at this point where, does she get any money? Does, like, let's say, the collusion with Kesef or Anadunya or anything?
I'm not following what she's
saying. I guess this is more of a side question.
Yeah.
Let's say we force the sister,
maybe there is a silver payout, I don't know.
Because then wouldn't it cause...
Why
would
she get a
tuba
payout?
Wouldn't it be causing a lot of damages? Because there she... Not damages, like causing her a loss of money, because there she had support from this man who would give her...
Well, then we hope that she'll marry someone else.
Why would she get a ketubah payment, though, if she doesn't get a get? Then there's no ketubah that she should get.
I
thought that was the point of what Rabbi Gamliel was saying, that she... That
she get
those
oh. Okay. This was from the other answer. I don't know what would happen. I mean, hopefully she'll be married. What did Rabbi Gamliel say?
Can I just ask a question on a normal Yibum and Chalitza case? So if a woman loses her husband, they have no children, and the brother does Chalitza with her and doesn't marry her, is he able to marry one of her sisters later on, or he's now Usher?
I think he might be Usher.
Wow.
It's an Achos
of
Kukosa.
Oh.
Wow.
So in this case, the brother who survived couldn't then do Chalitza with the older sister and then go back and do Raita marry the younger sister.
I didn't catch that.
Same case that we're discussing here. So two brothers married two sisters. The brother married to the older sister dies, and the younger sister does Niyun. That brother then does Chalitza with the older sister. He cannot then go and officially marry. Wait, stop saying this.
Yeah. That would be Achos Chalitza. So once he did Chalitza, he can't marry the sister.
That's crazy.
Anyway, it's not.
But even though they've never had Bia, they're still Usher. It's
a
different.
And they had a Chalitza, so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What did Rabbi Gamliel say?
Sounds like an adjective. Like you've grown up your whole life, like I'm going to marry someone.
That she could not, like she doesn't have to.
That the Zika does not Usher. There is a Zika. But Rabbi Gamliel does not believe that the Zika between the brother and the gedola is strong enough to usher him with his own wife, the katana. So therefore, we don't instruct the katana to do anything. She can do whatever she wants. Meaning, if she wants to do me, she can do me. But we don't instruct her or advise her to do so.
But if
she could decide not to do me, and then, and this is the part that in love, what did he say? So in Miyano, if she does Miyan, okay, she didn't believe. In love, if she doesn't, Tantin Achatadil Vitse Halozu Mishum Achos Isha. They could wait until she becomes a gedola. And that's the part that now becomes ambiguous. And then if you look at Rashi here on the spot, Rashi says, and now the marriage of the katana will become a full-fledged marriage, and then what will then happen is that now the older sister would be simply Achos Ishto, and therefore she would be exempt from Yibum or Chalitza. You understand what I just said?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is, but what's ambiguous about Rabbi Gamliel's statement is when she became a gedola, what exactly turned it into a full-fledged marriage? Is it just the fact that she turned 12, or did they have bia after she turned 12? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the discussion in the Gemara. And what was Rav's opinion?
You need to have bia.
That's right. And that's how the whole discussion ensued. So I don't really want to go over it. Maybe now, if you have free time, I don't want you to do it where to take away from other people. But if you finish preparing and you'd like to see if you can actually now figure it out. See, now, having this, you would understand the context, I think, better. You still have to go through all these lines of Gemara. Did anybody fully, what I just explained?
Yeah,
we didn't get to the Mishnah. We didn't go there.
What?
You didn't do the Mishnah, I have to understand the Gemara.
We just were trying to understand, what does it mean to become a gadol, a gadola?
What about the rest of you?
We did it on Mishnah. I think I understood that piece. I was confused by all the back and forth of Ibal in Ibalo, which it says like 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't sure what the nuanced differences were in each case, like why I kept saying.
Well, now the difference would be whether it becomes a Kedushin Bioraisa automatically for turning 12, or only if Ibal again, only if you have to do with her, yes, does it become.
So that's the general discussion, but I guess going line by line, I was confused.
Shmuel says you don't need Bia to be fully married, and he says as long as you turn 12, it automatically happens.
I don't think we know what Shmuel says about that.
Shmuel, it's not clear, because Shmuel just said
she needs to get
from the second dog. So it could be because. No, you don't, from Shmuel. All that Shmuel is saying is that the bia that he had with her, that the first guy had with her, it was not done l'shem kedusha. You know what I'm talking about?
The first guy.
So since it was not done l'shem kedusha, then she's only married to the first guy mid the rabbanon, and therefore when she accepted kedusha from the second guy after she became a gedola, she's going to need a get from him because that kedusha took effect. Because she was only married to the first guy mid the rabbanon.
Can you just explain that part about the Achor Isha again? Like, what happens there? If the Ketana decides to not do Nidalee, then what happens?
To Maharam Dumlia?
Yeah.
Then, let's say she becomes a Gedola.
Okay.
Now, then when she's a Gedola, somehow that Kedushin that she had becomes the Kedushin Dioraisa after she becomes a Gedola. And now that it's a Kedushin Dioraisa, so then that cancels out the Zika between him and the Yavama.
Okay.
Why does it cancel it out? Because they're sisters.
Right.
You can't have a Zika if you're married to one sister. There's no Zika between you and the other sister.
I still feel like Shmuel's explanation of why you need a get doesn't fit with the Mishnah, because it seems that according to Shmuel, the Kedushin Ketana never, that original Kedushin itself never turns in to a Kedushin Doraita. And therefore, according to Shmuel, how...
In other words, how does Shmuel interpret everything?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. How does Shmuel interpret Rabbi Gamliel?
Why does he have to interpret him if we don't pass the
Mishnah? He's a Tana. What do you mean? Everybody has to interpret it.
No, but I thought that Rabbi Gamliel is debating with Rabbi Eliezer. So
fine. So every Amora has to be able to explain the views of the Tana.
Of both of them.
Every time.
He doesn't have to agree with him, but how would he explain Rabbi Gamliel's statement that you become a
According to Shmuel, what is Rabbi Gamliel saying? He's got to have an answer. You can't just say, well, I don't like him.
What do you mean? If it was a debate and the Tanaim agreed that we passed him by Rabbi Eliezer, why does he
No, because that's not the debate. It's the debate is whether that... Like, the debate... Shmuel is not saying, oh, I don't hold by Rabbi Gamliel, because Rabbi Gamliel's point...
You could hold, not hold like Rabbi Gamliel,
right.
But you have to be able to explain to you what Rabbi Gamliel said. You can then disagree with him. You could pass him by
So why does Shmuel's statement make it seem like he doesn't agree with Rabbi Gamliel at all?
It's not a question of agreeing. He has to explain it.
Why does Shmuel's statement seem to...
Well, how does he explain Rabbi Gamliel? That's all. Just tell me.
Well, I don't think he does.
How does he explain the view of Rabbi Gamliel? Just tell me what... How Shmuel understands Rabbi Gamliel's opinion.
That they would have to...
Unless he thinks that... I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know. Oh, Tosa says the question.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I
didn't
have to hear this. Good question. Tosa says the question.
Okay.
Because he doesn't believe that the condition automatically turns into, by virtue of her turning 12, because if he thought that, then he would not need a get from the second God.
Right.
So he clearly doesn't think that. And the bia was not done with shame and new condition. So how does he understand Rabbi Gamliel? If you want to know, Tosfos.
On Kuvtet Amar Aleph?
Kuvtet Amar Aleph. Kuvtet Amar Aleph. Tosfos asked that question. Okay, so I know we're not going through everything, but I just...
Oh, it's a long Tosfos.
They normally are.
Even if they're short, it's so long.
All right,
yeah.
I'm going to try to figure that out, and then I'm not going to be able to, and then I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
Good point.
All right, let's... I think we should move on. So we did the Gemara in Gittin. We finished it.
The last thing that we said about the Gemara in Gittin. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we finished it.
And we pointed out that the Gemara there does say call the Makadesh as after the Rabbah Makadesh.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the Gemara went through the same thing. It says, Kinef the Kodesh Bakas, the Kodesh to be a Mayuko Neymar, should be Rabbah Makadesh, don't be Lassimus. So this is the point that Tosfos makes that there are two Gemaras where what?
It
where
says
the phrase called the Makadesh Adata, the Rabbah Makadesh is omitted. The one in Baba Basra and the one in Devamas that we just discussed. And then there are two other Gemaras that Tosfos the sites were called the Makadesh Adata, the Rabbah Makadesh is stated. One of them is in Gittin that we went over. The other one is in Ksuvos Daf Gemel. It's a different case. Nothing for our purposes will be gained by going through it, other than just learning about another case where the Rabbanu were mafkei the kedushin, and in that place also it says called makadesh adata the Rabbanu makadesh. So, did anybody actually? I know some of you tried to go through it.
We did it on Monday, so yeah. We
did anybody really get it?
They didn't look at it though.
Isn't this the one about the
Shemuel and Nav?
Oh, about the river. Yeah.
This was very more complicated than the one you get in. So.
Which one is this?
Two.
Let's not do it. Unless you insist, then we'll do it.
As it's complicated, I kind of want us to do it.
I don't want to make two
of you. Well, we'll do it the second and we'll prepare it for tomorrow.
Oh.
All right, fine.
Yes. Thank you.
To work on Ksuvos Daf Gemel for tomorrow. What I'm saying in terms of the Tosfos, it's not going to be so important to know the details of that Gemara. It'll just be another Gemara that Tosfos cites. So since Tosfos cited it, and we're a graduate program, So you'll prepare that for tomorrow, and we'll see how well you understand. But what is Tosfos there for? How does Tosfos explain this discrepancy that you have for the Basra, the Yevamos, where it's not mentioned? And then you have Gittin, where it is mentioned. Yes.
That in the cases where Adasa Derabanan Mekadesh is not mentioned, those are cases of Loka Hogain. And if it's Loka Hogain, you don't need it to say that the rabbis, that you need the consent, that you don't have to say that, that phrase of kol mekadesh.
You don't have to.
The Gemara doesn't need a to.
Why not?
What?
Why not? Does it need it?
What
do you mean by does it need it?
Like, you don't need the reason. Like,
why not?
Because the lo kahogin is a reason itself.
You're not saying that the Torah is, yeah?
So I thought, I mean, I'm not jumping to the answer, but I mean, I think that Tosafot is saying that all the places that Kedat, I can't tell you the phrase behind it.
Why not? Go to Makadesh,
I know Adat Adarabana, I have to remember the beginning of it. So that's in Barabatra and Yivamot. The reason why the rabbis were able to annul it is for a different reason. Meaning,
I'm not there yet.
Okay.
What does Tosfos say about the fact that it's been omitted?
That he didn't say it.
In Baba Basra, and why was it omitted there? Yes.
Omitted because it wasn't done at Dr. Jarrah.
That's right. Not that you don't need it.
Oh,
he was not Makadesh Adat HaDarabana. How does Tosfos know that the groom was not Makadesh Adat HaDarabana?
Because he's Lokahogan.
Because, after all, he married this woman, Shaloka Hogan. If he was so concerned about fulfilling the wishes of the Rabbana, he wouldn't be coercing women to marry him. Obviously, he couldn't care less about what the rabbis think. So the reason why it was omitted is because it wasn't true in these cases. He was not Makadesh, one with the intent to have the approval of the Chacham. He's not interested in their approval. He couldn't care less. After all, he forced this woman to marry him. He cares about the sensibilities of the Rabbana.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why it was omitted, because it's simply not true in these cases. Which case?
The Yevamah
and Yevamah's Kufir. Because these two Gemaras are about one case. Who was Sashalo Kahogan? Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, who disagrees with Tosfos?
Rashbam.
Rashbam says that no, he was Makadesh Adat HaDarabana. And why did the Rashbam say that? Even though it was omitted. But despite the fact that it was omitted, he still feels that he was Makadesh Adat HaDarabana. Why did Tosfos say it? Yes.
Wait, why did Tosafot or the Rashbam?
I'm sorry, why did the Rashbam say it?
Because I think he thinks that's the only way that the rabbis would be able to annul it. Is because he made the by that man saying
annul what?
The marriage.
You have to say drop more. That would be the only way to explain what?
To explain why they were able to uproot it.
What's hefker bez and hefker? What do you mean?
Oh, for bia.
Oh,
yeah. Sorry.
Say that. That if he's Makadesh the bia, how were the rabbanim able to uproot the marriage? There's no hefker bez and hefker that would apply. And therefore, the Rashbam says it was because he was Makadesh and Adat HaDarabanan. So it's a very peculiar. Here's this guy who goes around forcing women to marry him, but when he was Makadesh, or after she said Rosa on me, he wants to be Makadesh and Adat HaDarabanan. Well, sounds like a joke.
But it almost makes sense.
Okay.
It's like when people say, whatever. It's about
some Kedah
Israel. They just say it as the way to get married without realizing what it even means.
No. Let's assume he, even if he knew what it meant.
Exactly.
Like, he forced her, okay? He forced her, but now I want to do it. You know, I want to.
Right.
Talk, you know.
It's because we
drew
the
position.
Very
you love that example.
Well,
no, but
it
gave you yesterday, too.
Position
yeah,
it makes more sense.
He lost that.
Well, let's see. So,
what's coming with it here?
I think both are valid positions. I mean, you can go either way on that. Whether he was Makadesh Adat HaDarabana, I can see it both ways. Now, the case in Gittin, I'm just adding, clearly he was Makadesh Adat HaDarabana, because the Kedushin that they had could have happened 20 years ago was done properly. The Gittin case. There was nothing wrong with the Kedushin.
But
so
it said
that
Adat HaDarabana there anyway.
That's why it says it there.
They need to be.
That's why it says it there. But there, it is true that he was Makadesh Adat HaDarabana. So now, if called the Makadesh Adat HaDarabana, Makadesh was deliberately omitted because it doesn't apply. So now the big question is going to be, OK, okay, if he's Makadish the Kesef, I can understand how the Rabbanan deal with the marriage based on Hefridus and Hefridus. How will they, how did, Mara says though that they uprooted the marriage even if it was Makadish Kudiva.
Mm-hmm.
How could they do it? What halakhic mechanism allows them to do it? It was not Makadish Adata the Rabbanan. So you can't use this stipulation, this condition idea. Hefger Bez and Hefger is, you know, doesn't apply. So what gives them the right to uproot the marriage? So how did what it tell us to say? Yeah?
Because they have the authority to uproot a Dabar Min HaTorah. And as long as there's, it's, well, it becomes a problem.
Well,
but
now, so this thing about they can uproot, what do you mean they can uproot the government of Torah? Where do you go? Let's get this from. Where did the Tosafot just make this up? That the rabbis cannot. I mean, they could just undo a Torah law. They could just blot it out. You know, we have Tariyat Mitzvah, so they could just eliminate as if they see a reason.
Well, that's, they use Hefker Bez and Hefker. They have to have some mechanism by which they do it.
No, but we're saying more than that. You're trying to say that that's the reason why they could approve the marriage if he was Makadish Kudiya.
No, that's what's pushing them to do it, and then they have to have a mechanism by which they do it.
So what's the mechanism?
The mechanism they're going to do is the Zanut thing. For the
How did they do it, though?
Torah Lo Bashalayim.
How'd they do it?
They have this.
A woman bebiya. He did it for the sake of kedusha. What right do the rabbis have to touch their marriage?
No,
because kol de mekadesh.
No, Tosa says that doesn't apply.
Oh, right. Tosa doesn't say this, but maybe the rabbis are just have the power to protect women or people.
No.
Tosa just knows it.
What if
he
it's Lo Kehogin also?
Okay, he behaved inappropriately. Good. So we'll touch him. So how do you uproot the marriage? We'll beat him up. We'll throw him in jail. But how do you uproot the marriage?
The Hefker Bez and Hefker or the Znus thing.
You find a way.
But Znus is not a mechanism. How do you turn someone's bia into Znus?
You consider it to have been Znus.
Why
it could still be Kedushin is what
you
he's saying.
You can't do that. You can't, they did it l'shem kedushin. You can't just.
Yeah.
But don't we know that the rabbis have the ability to
That's
do this?
Well,
he wants to know why.
No, but like.
Where does Tosfos get this idea?
Okay.
That rabbis can simply uproot. According to what Tosfos is saying, what law are they uprooting?
Kedushin.
They're just saying
yeah.
that the kedushin that they had, Rubia, is that a kedushin?
Well, he learns it from Kitzin, doesn't he?
What do you learn it from?
I mean, he doesn't learn it, but doesn't it say it straight out in the Gemara of Kitzin that we just did?
That's based on called the Makadish Adat of the Rabbanan.
But it tells us that Yesh Koach Beyad Chachamim. It tells us that based in that we uproot something because. No, it's different. You're right.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, this is what I think we understood yesterday, was that if the man is Makadi Shaloka Hogan, then we have that root.
What root is that? There is no root.
No.
I can understand why the rabbis are displeased because he behaved Shaloka Hogan. So they're displeased. Good. Now what? But they have to have the legal authority. Whatever they're going to do, they have to have the authority to do so. It's not because they just wish it.
So it brought the
Everybody
example.
Has to follow the law.
So it brought the example of the whole Tavel.
Who brought the example?
Ivanos.
We didn't look there, so we can't answer.
You didn't look there.
Tosfos brought it.
It's in Tosfos.
Tosfos brought it.
Why do you think Tosfos brought it?
Because it's another example of where Beitz Din uses that power of
what
saying
power?
That
the Yishka.
Black card Dabar Min HaTorah about talking about separating Truma from something that is not Kodesh, but rather it is Tameh. So from something that's Tameh and not Tahor.
Okay, so can somebody, do we need to know that Gemara?
Yes.
Absolutely, yes. Okay. So can somebody tell me what that Gemara said? What daf is it on?
Is
it Nivamos Peitet? What did, yes, Sylvia, just tell me the Gemara, nothing else.
Sure, there's a case of a person who wants to give Truma and there's no Kohen there. So they can give, they have Tamei.
You mean there's no Kohen?
It said Mipnei Hatzei Kohen.
Where did it say that?
In Rashi.
Yeah, not that there's no Kohen.
Because the Kohen doesn't.
He lost it.
He lost what?
He lost his ability to have.
No.
We thought
it was the rest of it. I don't know.
We thought that it was. We thought it was
that
the Kohen isn't.
We
thought it was that the Kohen isn't there.
Forget about what Rashi said. All right.
Okay. Somebody wants to give Truma and gives Truma from the Tame on the Tahor, meaning takes Tame things from the rest of the Tahor package.
Let's make up an example. So let's say Sylvia is a landowner and she has crops, wheat crops, or crop wheat. And as a landowner in Eretz Yisrael, you have to. What is, after all the wheat is harvested, what is the status? Let's say there are 100 bushels of wheat. What is the status of the 100 bushels right now?
Tevo.
It's Tevo. What is the status of Tevo?
Can't eat from it.
It's Aser Ba'achilo Min HaTorah. No Jew is allowed to eat Tevo. Now, so, what has to happen to permit the landowner or anybody else to eat from that produce? You have to be mafrish all the things that the Torah demands of a landowner. You have to be, take off truma, you have to take off maser, there's a whole bunch of things. Let's just focus on the truma. Now, the Chachamim made said that how much truma do you give to a Kohen? So they said the average amount that people would give would be 2% of the total crop. So let's keep the numbers simple. Let's say there are 100 bushels. So you would, Sylvia the landowner would separate out 2 bushels and declare these 2 bushels to be truma. Let's imagine that only the trumas would you have to take off. Now, once Sylvia does that and declares, look, she separates them out and says, these 2 bushels are truma, what now is the status of the other 98?
Not tevo.
They're not tevo, they're ordinary chulin, they're permitted to eat, anybody can eat.
Then you also have to give
and of course, the 2 bushels are truma, and they can only be eaten by a kohen. So therefore, Cynthia would have to give those 2 bushels to any Kohen of her choice. That's the way it works. Fine. Now, the case in the Gemara Yevamos was, what will be if those 2 bushels were tamei?
Did they become tamei, or you took them knowing that they were tamei?
Well, that's what the Gemara here discusses, whether it was done to show they were the mason.
No, I'm saying, was it tamei before?
Oh, yeah.
It was always tamei.
It was tamei before the hafrasha. Just the question is, did you know that they were tamei or not?
Before you gave it to the kohen, before you set it aside?
Before you declared it to be true. So, now before we get to the specifics of that, you have to know something about if truma is tamei. What do you do with it?
Burn it.
Who does?
You do.
Give it to the Kohen or not?
No.
What
you
do?
Oh, you do.
Give it to the Kohen, but the Kohen is not allowed to eat truma tamei.
So what's the point of doing it?
He can burn it, but use it as a fuel. Yeah, he can get hana, but he can burn it in the oven and make a cake. But he can use it as a fuel. He can use it to heat his house. So he can get some benefit, but obviously not the benefit of eating. So that would, so obviously, to give a Kohen truma tamei would be a hefsid Kohen.
Oh, a loss to the Kohen.
It would be a loss to the Kohen.
Not a loss of the Kohen.
Because he can only now use it as a fuel, he won't be able to eat.
I thought it was like the Cohen isn't there, so you're really just taking it away, and
no.
you're not.
I thought the Cohen lost his status, and he was the Cohen, and he was the Cohen you usually go to. So
wow.
instead, you just burn it.
I thought the Cohen
yeah,
got lost.
Makes sense.
I thought it made sense in the context of talking about Mom Zeros and losing Kahuna.
Okay. So what did the Gemara there say? The Gemara cited a Mishnah, and the Mishnah said that there's a difference between. Before I get to the Mishnah, I'm sorry, one second. So what will be if the two bushels were tame, and Sivya declared those two bushels? Let's forget about for now whether she knows or she doesn't know that it's tame. Leave that issue aside for the moment. I'm telling you that they're tame. And Sivya declared those two bushels to be truma. Question is, do the two bushels become truma?
Well, it depends.
Well, let's say for now, min ha-Torah,
yes.
Even though when you then give those two bushels to a Kohen, the Kohen will suffer a loss, so be it. Nothing can do about it. So min ha-Torah, if you're mafresh, now what will happen to the other 98?
They're not tevel anymore.
They're not tevel anymore. They're food. Yeah.
Is there no way for him to take whatever food it was and to make it tahor? There's no way to change
no.
the status. Okay.
So this is where now the Marni Vamas cites a Mishnah. Where the Mishnah then distinguished between whether Sivya was mafresh the truma, knowing that it was tamei, or not knowing.
But it's midrabbanan.
Well, yeah. So
how would we have known that looking here? Because from here, I might have thought that Mishnah is teaching us midraita.
Well, if you would have looked up the Mishnah, then you would have kahati again. You might have seen that it was explained. That's why if there's quoting a Mishnah, that's good. Because we have other means of figuring it out. Because you don't have to just rely on the Gemara. You can take out a Kahat, you can take out a Mishnayas. You didn't understand it from the Gemara itself. And you have to utilize that. That's when they don't cite a Mishnah. They cite another Braisa where you can't, you know, then you're sort of stuck in trying to figure out the Gemara. Okay?
Okay.
You have to use that. So, what did the Mishnah say? That if he did it, the Zitzivya did it, the Shogeg, meaning she didn't know that those two bushels were tamei when she declared it to be truma, then there are no penalties that would fall. Sivya, she didn't know. So, the two bushels do become truma, notwithstanding that they're tamei. The other 98 are ordinary chula. But, says the Mishnah, what would be if what?
Did it unintentionally.
If she did it, the Mazid, meaning she knew it was Tamei, she'll dump the Tamei stuff on the Kohen.
Nice.
So she declared it, knowing it was Tamei, and she declared it to be true anyway. So what was the, you have to know, what did the Mishnah say? Who has a text?
In
Italian, habit. What does it say if it was the mazid?
Lo
asa velo klum. Period. That's what the mission said. End of mission. Lo asa velo klum. Now the words literally mean what?
You didn't do anything.
So it sounds like, well, I don't know.
Maybe he did nothing wrong.
Now, it sounds like that what he did, what Sivya did, was just ineffective. What does that mean?
So that's what this is then debated
in the Gemara by two Amorim. Who were the two Amorim who debated?
Rav Natan.
Rav Chisda.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Rav Nassim, I think it was. It was Rav Oshia and Rav Chisda. Keeping in mind that min ha-Torah, what is the status of the two bushels?
Even if he did it, what is the status of the two bushels?
It's truma.
Keeping that in mind. So.
Why is it truma? Because he's separated them?
Because he did, mm-hmm. because he did it. He declared it truma, so it means truma. So then what is the what's the rule? What mean? What did Rav Chisda say? What did Rav Chisda say?
That it becomes everything becomes tevel.
That the truma status is
disappears.
And all 100 bushels are considered to be what?
Tevel.
So it's really what he did was totally worthless. That's what Rav Chisda says. Now this is, who is doing that? Who is making his action totally worthless?
The rabbis.
The rabbis are doing that. Yeah.
But when do the rabbis do it? And by the second that he does truma, if he's already doing it,
it's undone.
So he never did it to begin with.
Well, he did it and they undid it.
Because
if you mapped out the sequence of events,
okay.
He did it,
yeah.
And they basically invalidated it. So therefore, what's happening is the rabbis turned it back as though the Hafrosha's Truma did not take effect. And therefore, all 100 bushels are tevel the way they were before. Okay? This is, yeah.
So then that means I can go and take those two earlier bushels that I declared truma and then eat them as a non-Kohen?
Good. That's exactly what it means. What she just said? Say it again.
That I can take those two bushels, which I initially called truma, and eat them as a non-Kohen,
yeah.
Which were initially usher.
Because once they're tevel back, and then you'll take off another 2%.
And then those
and
will
the, and those two bushels, you're allowed to eat. It's not truma, it's just kula tamea. Anybody can eat kula tamea. You'll even come to them, so on.
Oh, but according to the Torah, they're not tevel.
They're still truma.
So that's how it's the same thing as how we let an Ashes each be with other. Okay.
That's
yeah.
where this is going. But we're not there. But what that's what Rav Chisda said. What did Rav Nassim, and Rav Oshia say?
That it still counts as truma.
So what does it mean, though, as a little clump?
Is that...
Oh, is it that it can't be used for truma or for the non-Kohen to eat? Neither?
No.
No. Yes?
Let's look at the shirim.
Not shirim.
Shirim. Oh.
Shirim are songs.
No, but there were also necklaces and chains. I was just thinking along those lines, being like, he did nothing to fix the situation. Like,
what's she Ryan?
Leftovers.
The leftover. What is the leftover?
Meaning he needs to go and take truma again from those 98 bushels.
The leftovers are referring to the 98 bushels. In other words, the following, what Rav Nassim said, the two bushels that he declared truma remain truma. You can't undo that.
But you must also.
But what does Lo'asa V'lo Klum mean? Lo'asa V'lo Klum means that you think that when you declare those two bushels to be truma, that now your other 98 are no longer tevel. That's where we're going to penalize you. The other 98, we're going to be machmir and say there's still an Iser tevel on them. And you can't eat them until you do what?
Take truma again.
Take off truma again, 2% from the 98.
So not two bushels, less than two bushels.
Well, whatever it'll be, 2% from the 98. It's slightly less. Right? So, but the truma that you took off, you can't undo that.
So
you have a machlokas here between Rav Nassim and Rav Chisda. Now, Rachel's point earlier was very important. According to Rav Chisda, by saying that the two bushels are no longer truma and it reverts back to being tevel, that means the rabbis uprooted a Torah law. What Torah law?
That you can't eat.
That this is truma. They said it's not truma. It just falls back into the 100 bushel pile. And therefore, if he then picked out two different bushels to be truma, and those two bushels that were tamei, the landowner is going to end up eating. And that's perfectly fine. So the rabbis uprooted the Torah law passively or actively?
Actively.
Actively.
Wait, sorry, I'm missing that step. When do they become kohanim?
Automatically, according to Rav Chisda, they undid it.
Okay, fine. So by undoing it, they're not undoing it and reverting it back to Kevel.
Yes, they are.
Oh, they are.
That's
so then,
exactly what they're doing.
Wait, so then what happens after that?
So then the landowner will have to take off Truma again.
From
Kevel. From all 100.
Using the different
two
bushels.
We'll take two different bushels.
Okay, but are all those 100 still in the status of Tameh?
No, only two bushels were Tameh. The other 98 were Tahor.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Okay. So then, all 100 are tevel. He'll take out two bushels that are tahor, declare that to be truma, and the other 98, which includes the two that were tameh and that initially were truma, now become ordinary chulin. So the rabbis have the power to uproot a Torah law actively. Can you say the words active?
Yeah. Is this the source of this?
Why is it active? The way he understands that Mishnah, what can the rabbis do? The rabbis can basically tell a person, you're allowed to eat something that was true, no, you're allowed to eat it.
So it's active because someone could eat it.
Yeah. They're telling the landowner, you could eat it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the machlokas between Rav Chisda and Rav Nasa. Can the rabbis uproot a Torah law actively? And the way it's expressed in the jargon of the rules is Yesh koach biyad chachamim la kor dover min haTorah tukum va'aseh or not. Understand the words?
Yeah.
What do you mean by tukum va'aseh?
Stand up and just move
actively.
In other words, because according to Rav Chisda, what can the rabbis tell the landowner?
Just burn it on
your... We are undoing the truma that you declared. And it goes back into the 100 bushel pile. You want you now to separate out two different bushels. Those original two bushels, you can now eat. So they're telling this landowner, basically, they're being okir of Dovermen HaTorah, and they're saying, and you can actively eat those two tomei bushels now, even though in HaTorah they were declared as truma. Now they're letting the landowner eat them. So the landowner is active. So there was an akira of a dover min haTorah, which a person is doing, which a person now would be otherwise violating actively.
Makes sense.
Rav Chisda says that can be done. And Rav Nasan says the rabbis don't have that power. Yeah.
It seems like Rav Nasan has another thing that he's worried about, which is that he's also making... is being more stringent in general with his approach. Like, if you see this as a penalty for the person who does this, who separates truma from something tame, he's being even stronger. He's saying, like, no, you're going to give the truma that was tame.
It's not a question of being stronger. It's really that they don't have the power to undo the truma status on those two bushels.
Because if, to some extent, he's doing something double, like, that also doesn't make sense for Chisda.
Rav Chisda feels that they ideally, if it could be done, Rav Chisda is the best way to go. It's just that Rav Nasan says the rabbis just don't have the power to do that.
So therefore, in order to penalize this guy,
to make sense of Lo'os of Lo Klum, that you have to come up with another interpretation, because the mission said Lo'os of Lo Klum. What does it mean? So this, yeah.
Okay, I'll just ask you after. I'm confused about how it went from... I'm still confused about how it went from Tameh to Tahor.
It didn't. The Tameh is still Tameh.
It just so happened that now the second time that you were Mafrish the Tirmah, you happened to be Mafrish the Tahor.
Well, if you do the Truma again, because we'll undo it. You're not going to get anywhere.
How do you know? What if it's all Tameh?
Well,
right, I understand, but how do you, like...
Let's say we know.
Okay, fine. So the first time you knowingly took the tameh once, and then it was invalidated, so now everything's mixed up again?
Not mixed up. So those two bushels remain tevel.
Okay.
They're still tameh. to. You're going to have, as a landowner, unless you want the same thing to happen again, you're going to have to then separate out two tahar bushels.
Okay, but now once you do that,
the two tameh bushels are now chula that you can eat.
And they were also terumah before.
Yeah.
And so that's the problem.
So,
okay.
So according to Chizda, the rabbis just uprooted that.
Okay, got it.
Even though they're uprooting it and telling a Yisrael that he could eat it.
Yeah.
Right? Now, can somebody tell me now what does Tosfos say?
I have a question on it. When he says, where did it go? Oh.
We'll get to that in a second. But tell me what, we're not there yet. Tell me what Tosfos is saying. Yes.
It sounds like Tosfos is saying that based on this, this Gemara Nivamot, right, according to the Pisa, the rabbis do have the ability to accord the Lagmina Torah.
Yes.
Therefore, let's take that principle and apply it here in Baal Batra and Nivamot, in which.
To explain what?
How the Rabbanan can uproot a marriage that was a man who's Mekadesh woman via the Am.
Yeah. The reason why they can do it is because they could uproot Torah laws, even actively.
But it says Hainu Hecha Talitha Vera.
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
So are we viewing the source in Yavamot as the source, or just
the
because?
The Gemara in Baba Basra and Yavamot is following the view of Rav Chisda,
okay,
and not the view of Rav Nosson.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I just said?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But who is the one that says that the rabbi should be open to Amar Menah Torah B'Kom Tase? Rav Nosson says they can't.
Are we
Pasek
like
Rav
Chisda?
No. That's why we use his logic.
So that's why, I don't know of any Rishon who passed it like with this one. So everybody passed it like with us, so that the Truma.
So how does this work according to Tosfos if you don't pass it?
Okay, that doesn't matter. These two Gemaras are following the view of Rav Chisda, that's the
judgment. Even if we don't pass
it like that, generally. So we won't pass it.
What are we passing like with this? Like if a couple nowadays.
Now you understand why all the other Rishonim, they didn't want to learn that this way. I only found Tosfos who says this. Everyone else, you have to say what?
But he did it.
But he was Mekadesh Adat to the Rabbanot. Otherwise, how was he explained? Now, what Tosfos then proceeds to explain is, if the Gemara is working with Rav Chisda's view that they can be Oked Avraham and Atara, so why did the Gemara say Tina the Kaddish the Kasva, Kaddish the Dia, my equal in the Gemara? What troubled the Gemara if he's Makadish the Dia? They could be Oked Avraham and Atara, but Kumba says, so who cares whether he's Makadish the Kesa, the Shtar, the Dia, who cares? So what did Tosfos explain? So the Gemara thought that maybe the rabbis what?
Could only uproot.
Or, I know, could or would.
Would only uproot the Kumba Aseh, as long as in uprooting whatever that thing was, it wouldn't now have made you be over and other.
Right. You see, in the case of Truma, by uprooting it and declaring it to be Tevel again, nobody committed any Averus.
What do you mean? You're eating
truma. No. I mean in
retroactively.
By saying that now it's chulin, by doing that, you're not committing an avera.
Okay.
By declaring, by being uprooting a kedushin that was done with bia, then you're turning the bia into a bia of snus.
Which makes it an avera.
Wouldn't most kumba assays be something that you would be doing an avera by doing it?
Well, one second. So, no.
Okay.
Because if they say you can eat it, so then you can eat it. as if they're talking about something else.
But let's say to Kuma, say, let's say something that's treif, and then they say, forget that, Kuma, like, we will let you eat something treif.
But
you're,
for the point,
what did the Gemara answer? Shavir Rabbanu Bilas Obilas Nus, meaning?
They do it.
But even if even when there's an Aveira, they did it.
But I'm saying, why would they have to ask that question?
To explain the Gemara.
But I feel like by definition of a kumba asay, you're assuming that you, like, I feel like it should be like intuitive that if you're going to allow kumba asays, that obviously included in that would be times where you would do an Aveira.
No, what's the kumbas? Okay, we're not.
The Aveira that you're saying is...
No, we have to stop. So, so let's finish this up. We're going to finish up this tomorrow. Work on Kuba tomorrow. And then we're ready to move on to the next source in this issue, which I think...
Sama.
Yeah.